Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Are you glad you came to church today? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you made it to the house of God. Now look at that person who was your second choice and tell them, you look like you need a little church today. It's Memorial Day weekend. How many of you have plans this weekend? Anybody hosting family in from out of town? You got some visitors, some guests over at your house. Yeah, you got plans. Anybody grilling tomorrow? Who's having a little barbecue? Hold up your hand. Let me see. Keep your hands up just for a second. I want to know who's grilling because I may invite myself over to somebody's house. Oh, it's a great, great weekend to be in church, and we just appreciate you carving out time to make this a part of your Memorial Day weekend experience. We've been in a series called Transitions. Everybody say, Transitions! We're talking about how to get from here to there. I love that thought. How do you get from here? How do you make a transition from here to there? Are you ready to get in the Word today? I'm excited. I think today's going to be a great day. Say this after me. Say, I'm here. Not because I have to be, but because I want to be. Say, this is not a me thing. It's not a you thing. It's a Jesus thing. Now, somebody say this. Now, let's just be real honest. Say, I'm not perfect. Now, look at the person you're sitting next to and tell them, I know you got issues too. You got big time issues. Tell them it's worse than you think. I know how it is. Say, we're not perfect. But we serve the one who is. Say, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Help me not to leave like I came in Jesus' name. Now, if you believe that, put your 10-stringed instrument together. Awesome. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you have your Bibles. Last week, we kicked off this idea of transitions, and the first installment, I don't know if you remember, if you were here last week, we talked about the transition between Moses and Joshua. How many of you remember that? You were here last week. Anybody take notes? Come on. History makers are note takers. So if you want to make history, write a few things down. I want to call into remembrance some of the things that we talked about last week. From the transition from Moses to Joshua was the big idea was what? Take one step at a time. How many of you remember that? You know, God told Joshua, he said, listen, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I'll give it to you. In other words, if you take a step, I'm stepping with you. Aren't you glad that God makes a decision to never leave us or forsake us? Every step that you take, he says, I'm going to be right there with you. And God told Joshua to take a few steps. Now, let me just tell you this. Some of the steps that we take in life are easy, but then there are some steps that are incredibly difficult. How many of you are walking through some difficult moments right now? Going through a season of transition that may be challenging. And God told Joshua, hey, there's this Jordan River. I want you to step into the water. And what happened? When he made a decision to step into those waters, then they parted. We said sometimes you got to get your feet wet before you see the miracle. They crossed the Jordan River, and there was the city of Jericho. And you know, God told them what? Keep stepping, baby. Keep stepping. You're going to march around that city. But this time when you walk, I want you to shout. Remember we talked about offering praise to God along the way. God did supernatural things in Joshua's life and in the children of Israel as they made a decision to walk with him and give him praise. Today, I want to talk to you about the transition between Elijah and Elisha, okay? Elijah and Elisha. What happens after you've taken that first step? Maybe it was into a new season, into a new decision, into a new direction. I love this message today. It's for all of us. But I think it especially applies to 26 interns today who are taking a step. Sometimes we'll take a step, and what's the first thing that the devil does? He wants you to doubt the step that you've just taken. Come on now, help me preach. Sometimes you'll step into a new season. You'll step into a new direction. You'll make a decision for your family, a decision in a relationship, or a decision about a job. You'll step out in faith. God, I'm going to trust you. Pastor Mike told me last week, I'm going to march around my Jericho. I'm going to step into this new opportunity. And the minute you take that first step, the first thing that the enemy of your soul will do, he'll cause you to doubt that step that you've taken. He wants you to second guess or question those steps. Doubt your direction. The devil wants to create confusion in every step that you take. Sometimes you'll take a step and you'll say, did I do the right thing? Come on, is anybody hearing me today? Or we'll say, was that really God? You know what? I think maybe I missed it on this one. You ever taken a step and the devil told you, you missed it? You shouldn't have done that. Sometimes you'll step out and you won't see anything different. You won't feel anything different. And the enemy will say, you messed that one up. You need to go back. The transition from Elijah to Elisha, pick up the story. This is kind of the original school of ministry, okay? This is the first internship, one of the first internships we see in the Bible. And I think there's so many lessons for us to learn out of this. In 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 19, I want you to read along with me. The Bible says, so Elijah went out and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field. Everybody say 12. 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, and he ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I've done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. Then he passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. You know, you read this story, and let me give you just a quick context. Elijah, how many heard of the prophet Elijah before? In fact, the Bible refers to him as the man of God. Somebody say, man of God. You know, I'm trying to get Rachel to refer to me. Baby, listen, when I walk in the room, you refer to me as the man of God. How many of you know it's not working out too well for me? There was such a reputation that the prophet Elijah had. I mean, in chapter 18, we read something incredible. Elijah, the man of God, defeated 850 false prophets. Remember that story? He literally called down fire from heaven. The man of God called down fire. When Elijah walked into a community, people got nervous. I mean, he's kind of the Rambo, you know, Terminator, Braveheart, man of God. People are wondering, wait, what is Elijah doing here? He can call down fire. The Bible says that he walks into a field and he sees Elisha. This young man is plowing a field. Has anybody ever plowed a field before? Let me see. Come on, a country boy can survive. Anybody plowed before? I haven't either, but I hear... I hear that plowing a field is incredibly difficult. It's hard work. Now, check this out. I'm about to give you, interns, I want you to hear this, and moms and dads in all of our church, I want you to hear this. I'm about to give you one of the most important principles I have ever learned in life, okay? This principle can literally change your life if you let it. I want you to hear this with your spirit, okay? Are you ready? If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. God is looking for fat people. Some of you don't know what to do with that statement. Some of you getting a little nervous. Some of you getting excited. Yes! God's looking for fat people. Now, I'm not talking about the size or the shape of your body. Come on, somebody told me the other day. He said, Mike, I'm in shape. Round is a shape. God's looking for fat people. F-A-T. Faithful, available, teachable. Hey, yeah. I want to know, are there any fat people in the house of God today? God's looking for men and women who will be faithful. Now, we said last week, everybody's chasing favor, But God's looking for men and women who'll be faithful. Favor rests upon faithful men. Elisha is plowing a field. How many teams of oxen were there? 12. He was with the 12th team. Okay, now think of it. A team of oxen. A team is two cows. There were 12 teams. How much cattle is in that field? Come on, do the math. 24. If you had one cow in your family, you were rich. But 24, you are filthy rich. Elisha came from a very prominent family. He's working with the field hands. Listen, God is looking for men and women who aren't afraid to work. The plans of God aren't just going to sweep you off your feet. Oh, I'm bouncing around from one glory cloud to the next. How many know it takes work? Interns, hear me. It takes work. One of the greatest things that you've learned over the last year or two, you've learned a little work ethic. Come on, how many of you moms and dads, you think it's important to teach your children work ethic? Important. Man, the blessings of God are just going to roll out for you. Well, you know what? We don't deserve the blessings, but God requires us to be responsible with those blessings. Can I have a good amen? Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than you're shouting. Faithful. You know, there's something about favor and faithfulness. And I believe an opportunity came to Elisha because he was being faithful with what God had entrusted him. He was available. The man of God says, listen, I want you to come and be a part of my world, be a part of my experience. And Elisha's response immediately was, yes. Yes. My answer is yes. Now, what's the question? Notice that Elisha didn't get a lot of information up front. How many of you know sometimes we don't take a step until we know what we're stepping into? Sometimes it's hard for us to fully trust God with uncertainty. God, I need a little bit more information than that. Have you discovered that God doesn't always give you complete information? He's not going to fill in every blank. He's not going to connect every dot. Sometimes he'll say, hey, come follow me. Just like Jesus did the disciples. The Bible says that they left their nets and they followed him. Elisha's response was, yes, I'll follow you. I pray that as a church, our heart says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever it is that you want, we're willing, we're available. Here's what happens. When we make ourselves unavailable to God, we limit the God potential inside of us. Did you catch that? But when your heart says, yes, I don't need a lot of information. There doesn't have to be a lot of discussion. God, I'm trusting you. If you present an opportunity, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to take that. Elisha made himself available. He realized that the cost of staying here was greater than the cost it required to go there. Now, there's a cost either way. Have you discovered that? I think for many of us, we stay here because it's easier staying here. When you always do what you've always done, then you always get what you've always got. And the plan of God is not for you to just stay here, but to say, no, I want you to move to there. And you know what? You can't do that unless you're available. And Elisha's response is, okay, I'm going to follow you. Notice he walked away from influence. He walked away from prosperity. He walked away from wealth. And he stepped into something unknown. I just sense by the Spirit of God, some of you, God's calling you to take a step and maybe step into something that's unknown. Would you be willing to faithfully and making yourself available? Would you be willing to take the journey? Elisha says, hey, I'll be your student. I'll be your disciple. Now look at verse 21. This is the key verse. There's one thing I want you to hear. God's looking for fat people, faithful, available, teachable. But the main idea of this message comes from verse 21. I want you to see Elisha's response. Elisha says, verse 21, so he returned to his oxen, slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire and to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. You know what Elisha decided to do? he decided to have a barbecue. Just a huge barbecue. I wanted to know who's grilling, who's chilling, and who's grilling tomorrow. Anybody? Who's having a barbecue? They decide, this is huge. Have you seen a side of beef? Do you know how many people you can feed with a side of beef? The Bible says that Elisha slaughtered the oxen and he broke up the plow. You know what I wanted to do today, and I ran out of time. I wish I would have had a little bit more time to put this together. I wanted to give everyone beef jerky today. You know, it's a move of God when you get beef jerky. And all the brothers said amen. I wanted to give you beef jerky because I wanted you to, when you eat that jerky, I wanted you to think of Elisha making a decision, slaughtering the ox, breaking up the plow. What does that mean? You know what Elisha said? I'm not going back. Are you catching this, church? Elisha made a decision when the opportunity presented himself. He was going to step into it completely. What was his occupation? What was his source of income? It was there in that plow and in the oxen. And whenever he slaughtered the oxen and he broke up the plow, he was telling his family, he was telling his friends, hey, let's have this big barbecue because guess what? I'm not going back to the way that I used to be. You see, the enemy wants to tempt us to go back to the way life used to be. Sometimes you'll take a step and it won't be comfortable. You'll take a step and it'll be uncertain. You're trying to follow God. You'll step into something and he'll say, you had it better back there. You know, when Rachel and I were youth pastors, one of the things we did, we would take students on retreats and summer camps. Hey, if you've got a teenager, make sure that they are here for devoted. It's going to be fantastic. We're believing the power of God is going to transform your son or your daughter. And we would have students that would experience radical life change. And you know what we would do when we got back home? Our next service, when we got back home, we'd tell all the students, hey, when you go home, clean out your room. There's some music maybe you got that doesn't glorify God. There's some movies maybe at your house that aren't glorifying. Maybe there's some t-shirts, some things that are a part of your life. You bring all of that stuff back, and you know what we did? We would have a bonfire. We would torch that. We would set it on fire. And it was making a statement. Listen, God, you have changed me from the inside out, and I'm not going back. There's no trinket in my past that's going to pull me back to that bondage. It was radical. It was helping to set people free and saying, listen, I'm moving forward. Do you know where your destiny is in Jesus? Forward. You know where God wants to move you from here to there? It's forward. In history, we studied about one of the great explorers, one of the great conquerors in the middle 1500s. His name was Hernando Cortez. And Hernando Cortez brought 600 soldiers and landed on the Yucatan Peninsula. 600 soldiers, about 16 horses and 11 boats. And their pursuit was to find treasure in the new world, in this new experience. And so he gathered all of his men. And they were expecting an inspirational speech where he was going to talk to them about their future and the fortune that was in front of them. And you know what he said? He said three words. Burn the boats. What does that mean? Burn the boats. He was telling his men, the boats that brought us here, those are the boats that are going to keep us here. But if we don't set those boats on fire, we may be tempted to go back. He had to tell those soldiers that day, set those 11 boats on fire because our destiny is in front of us, not behind us. Let me ask you this question, church. What are the boats in your life that you need to burn? What are the relics of your past that remind you of yesterday, that pull you back? Is there something in your life that needs to go up in smoke? Let me ask you this question. When God got a hold of your life, how many of you, God changed you forever? God changed you. Oh, wait, he saved you out of so much. You make a decision that says, I'm not going back to where I used to be. I'm not the same person that I once was. You've come too far to turn back now. Some of you have been tempted. Man, it's tough moving forward. I'm stepping into something new. It doesn't feel quite right. And the enemy will whisper in your ear, go back. It's easier back there. Or guess what? You'll face criticism. How many of you have some critics? Anybody criticize you? Am I the only one getting criticized these days? If you're not being criticized, you may not be risking enough in your faith. Jesus said the way that they treated me, they're going to treat you the same way. Come on now. If you're going to play it safe, you're going to miss the will of God. You step out, you'll get criticized. Some of you have taken some steps and they're whispering about you. Who does she think she is? Come on, they ever said that about you? Well, I guess he got religion. Am I talking to anybody today? Hey, and so they will predict your failure. They'll second guess your steps of faith. They'll say, listen, give him 2 weeks. He'll be right back. I want to know, has anybody burned some boats in here today? God, what you did for me there, it is complete. And the Spirit of the living God is moving me forward. I've got nothing to go back to. What are you going to go back to? If you stay here, then you'll miss what God has called you to. He's called you to there. Now, the challenge is you'll have friends. You'll work with people. There'll be people in your family. They feel more comfortable with you being right here. In other words, what they're saying is, I want to control you. I want to keep you right here. My life is more comfortable and safe with you here. But you know what the plan of God for you is? Plan of God isn't for you here. Plan of God is for you right there. Now, when you take a step from here to there, you're going to have to burn some things. Elisha had to slaughter the oxen, and he had to break up the plow. Everything in his past went up in smoke. He was making a declaration, not just to his family, but to the whole community. I'm not going back there. Some of you need to make that decision today. I love the scripture in Isaiah 50, verse 7. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone. One translation says, I've set my face like flint. Come on, look at me. Everybody look at me just for a second. Give me your eyes. Eyes, eyes. Give me your eyes. My third grade teacher, Miss Tesro, she would be so proud. She always said, give us your eyes. Give me your eyes. Now look at me. Some of you need to set your face like a stone. The writer says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be dismayed. I have set my face like a stone. I'm determined to do his will. And I know that I'll triumph. Why? Because the sovereign Lord helps me. When you take that step into your destiny, don't look back. There's nothing to go back to. Now, let me give you two thoughts. I want to be very practical as I wrap this up. Let me give you two thoughts. Here's how you punch fear in the face. Anybody ready to throw a punch today? Now, don't be swinging about the people the next to you. I mean, you might hurt somebody. This has got me so fired up. Listen, I'm having way more fun than you are right now. I promise. I really am. Nobody told me church could be this fun. This is dangerous. You have fun in the presence of God, in the house of God, when you learn things that have the potential to set you free. Oh, it truly is the life that Jesus died to give us. But I want to give you two thoughts, two truths that can help you punch fear in the face. All your doubters, all of your haters, all of your critics, here's how you kick them in the teeth, all right? Are you ready? I want you to jot this down. Number one, new reality, new mentality. If you're going to step into a new reality, you're going to have a new mentality. Are you catching this? Because the truth is, sometimes we step into a new reality, but we bring an old mentality. You can't have both. You can't have a new reality with an old mentality. There will be a tug of war. You will always struggle to step in your destiny if you have old thinking. Stinking thinking. Come on, somebody. Stepping into a new reality with an old mentality is a formula for frustration. And some of you, that describes where you are right now in your experience. You're totally frustrated. You know, the story I thought about? Remember the judgment that rained on Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember that in the book of Genesis? Those two wicked cities? And an angel of the Lord was sent to rescue a man named Lot. Remember that? And here this angel comes in and says, Lot, you better get out of here. I've come to gather you and your family. Let's get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because hellfire and damnation is about to rain on this city. And you know what the scripture says? You've read it. So they gather their family, and as they're on their way out of the city, now it's sulfur and fire are coming down from heaven. And the Bible says that Lot's wife, come on now, are you catching this? Lot's wife, as she's leaving, I mean, judgment is behind her. And she's leaving, trying to step into a new reality. She does what? She turned back. And guess what? It cost her. It cost her. Why did she turn back? There's nothing back there for her, but she couldn't move forward because what in her had never been renewed. There was an old mentality as she looked over her shoulder. I thought about the children of Israel. 430 years they were in slavery. And God raised up Moses and brought freedom to the children of Israel. One supernatural experience after another. They crossed the Red Sea. And what do they do with freedom? They didn't like it. How many of you have ever prayed for change and God brought change to you and you didn't like it when it came to you? The very thing that they had begged God for, and he gave it to them, and they didn't even like it. Because they may have been out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. Come, you're not catching this. You're not catching this. You see, it's easy to get out of Egypt, but it's hard to get Egypt out of you. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. You see, you can't truly step into a new reality if you carry an old mentality. Freedom was better for the Israelites, but better turned to bitter. They didn't like the taste of it. They complained. We had it better back in Egypt, and they constantly longed for what they had in the past. You know why? They thought they didn't deserve any better. When better came, they didn't like the taste of it. Here's the problem. When you do things a certain way for so long, it becomes your normal. And dysfunction, watch this. The Israelites, Lot's wife, and maybe some of us here today, were conditioned for dysfunction. Have you ever seen anybody in an abusive relationship and you're thinking, man, why don't they just get out of that? Well, their normal has been conditioned toward dysfunction. They think, man, I don't deserve anybody. It's hard to leave something. This has become so familiar. It's the new norm. Some people have a hard time leaving a bad situation for a new opportunity because they have an old mentality and they'll never experience a new reality. I've discovered you can change your zip code and still not change you. If I can just move out of this town, it'll solve all my problems. Guess what? If you move zip codes, all you've done is relocated a problem. How many of you know a problem will follow you into a new school district? A problem will follow you into a new community. A problem will follow you into a new job. Hey, get rid of that wife and get you another one, and that problem will follow you into a new relationship. Come on, smile at me now. Smile at me. Just because you change a zip code doesn't mean that you change you. If Steve has a problem with Bill, and Steve has a problem with Dan, and Steve has a problem with John, guess who the problem might be? Steve. If your name's Steve, this was not targeting you, I promise. Everybody say, God bless Steve. We love you, Steve. But you have a problem. That ain't right. That's so not right. There's a difference between change and transition. Have you noticed that? I mean, when I got married, I was 22 years old when I got married. Rachel was 19. Bless her heart. Man, that ain't right. I can't believe her daddy let me marry her that young. All my friends started to get married, and it was interesting how some people can make a life change, but they never made a transition. Here these guys are in their mid-20s and late-20s, and they're acting like they're single and 17. How many of you know you can change a life setting and never transition? It's a problem when you're married, but you're acting single. You haven't transitioned. You see, change, watch this, change can be external, but transition has to be internal. There's got to be something that's rearranged inside of you. Well, I just feel like God's wanting me to drill down on this just a little bit. Mike, how do I truly change and transition? How do I get a new mentality? I'm desperate. I don't want to stay here. I'm miserable here. I'm praying God for something new. When I start taking steps, how do I get from here to there? If you're going to step into a new reality, you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said it best. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the what happens when you renew your mind? You're able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. How many of you want to know the will of God for your life? And not just a good plan, but the perfect plan of God for you. You're going to have to renew this. It reminds me of something that I heard about circus elephants. I know this is going to sound crazy, but hang with me. Circus elephants. You know, when a little baby elephant is born, it'll maybe weigh 200 to 300 pounds. And a trainer will put a shackle around one of the legs of those baby elephants, attach it to a chain, and stake it into the ground. And try as that little baby will, he'll never be able to shake that shackle free. Can't do it. Struggles. Chained to this stake. But do you know that same stake, that same shackle that holds a 200 to 300 pound little baby elephant can also hold an adult elephant as well? An adult elephant is 2 to 3 tons. Okay? So now we're going from like 300 pounds to like 6,000 pounds. Held to the ground by the same chain. When I realized that, I thought, how does that happen? That adult elephant is so massive. All it would take is just one. I mean, surely he knows he could get away if he really wanted to. But here's what I discovered. Somewhere in that baby elephant's mind, that little, as they were being developed, struggle and try to get free, he reached a certain point and realized, you know what? I'll never be free from this. And so now, as a massive adult elephant, he doesn't even try. He's not chained to the stake. He's chained to a memory. And the challenge is this. Sometimes we are chained to a memory and it keeps us right here. Chained to a memory and we're forfeiting our destiny. Don't let your history mess up your destiny. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going back. Let me close. I need to close this up. New reality, new mentality, last thought, new place, new grace. New place, new grace. When you step into a new place, there's a new grace that's waiting for you. Elisha, I'm going to ask the band to come up. Let me try to land this plane quickly. Elisha was plowing the field, and the prophet, the man of God, came to him. And the scripture says he wrapped a coat or a cloak around his shoulders. You know what that cloak represents? A mantle. There was a grace that rested upon Elisha. And what the man of God was trying to teach him was this. You don't see, you don't understand, maybe you don't even feel equipped. But there's a new grace that's resting on you when you step into this new season. Interns, hear me. You're stepping into a new season. There's grace for you as you make that step. You're making a transition. You know, what you've known for months, maybe for several years, some of you, that's about to change. And when God moves you out of what you knew into what you don't know, I want you to realize this, there'll be a new grace for that new place. Don't be afraid to take those steps. God's going to give you the grace that you need. Scripture says he's able to make all grace abound toward us. Everybody say all grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8, one of the first scriptures that I memorized. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is not rationing out grace because he's running out. Are you with me? You step into a new place, there's a new grace. I want to encourage you, as you step, burn whatever boat you need to burn. Make a decision. I'm not going back. There's nothing to go back to. The plan of God, the heart of God, the future for you is always in front of you. Don't look back.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.